Citizens, is your host once again, Tico from the Blue Pill Podcast, bringing you episode 10. Now, in today's episode, I just want to say happy Black History Month, and today's topics will be including exactly that, Black history, and also blackface, with the incident, having to do with the incident with Gucci. Okay, now we're gonna go ahead and talk about those two topics. I'm gonna be speaking about the blackface issue with Gucci, and then I'm also going to be speaking to you guys about King Mansa Musa and a little bit of history about him. Okay, now sit back, relax, roll up a little spliff, a little blunt, and take a listen, Matrix Citizens. Okay, Matrix Citizens, welcome back. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play an audio to let you guys, inform you guys on a little bit of information about King Mansa Musa.
If someone asked you who the richest people in history were, who would you name? Perhaps a billionaire banker or corporate mogul like Bill Gates or John D. Rockefeller. How about African King Musa Keita I? Ruling the Mali Empire in the 14th century CE, Mansa Musa, or the King of Kings, amassed a fortune that possibly made him one of the wealthiest people who ever lived. But his vast wealth was only one piece of his rich legacy. When Mansa Musa came to power in 1312, much of Europe was racked by famine and civil wars. But many African kingdoms and the Islamic world were flourishing, and Mansa Musa played a great role in bringing the fruits of this flourishing to his own realm. By strategically annexing the city of Timbuktu and re-establishing power over the city of Gaul, he gained control over important trade routes between the Mediterranean and the West African coast, continuing a period of expansion which dramatically increased Mali's size. The territory of the Mali Empire was rich in natural resources, such as gold and salt. The world first witnessed the extent of Mansa Musa's wealth in 1324, when he took his pilgrimage to Mecca. Not one to travel on a budget, he brought a caravan stretching as far as the eye could see. Accounts of this journey are mostly based on an oral testimony and differing written records, so it's difficult to determine the exact details. But what most agree on is the extravagant scale of the excursion. Chroniclers describe an entourage of tens of thousands of soldiers, civilians, and slaves, 500 heralds, bearing gold staffs and dressed in fine silks, and many camels and horses bearing an abundance of gold bars. Stopping in cities such as Cairo, Mansa Musa is said to have spent massive quantities of gold, giving to the poor, buying souvenirs, and even having mosques built along the way. In fact, his spending may have destabilized the regional economy, causing mass inflation. This journey reportedly took over a year, and by the time Mansa Musa returned, tales of his amazing wealth had spread to the ports of the Mediterranean. Mali and its king were elevated to near legendary status, cemented by their inclusion on the 1375 Catalan Atlas. One of the most important world maps of medieval Europe, it depicted the king holding a scepter and a gleaming gold nugget. Mansa Musa had literally put his empire and himself on the map. But material riches weren't the king's only concern. As a devout Muslim, he took a particular interest in Timbuktu, already a center of religion and learning prior to its annexation. Upon returning from his pilgrimage, he had the great Djingarabeir Mosque built there with the help of an Andalusian architect. He also established a major university, further elevating the city's reputation and attracting scholars and students from all over the Islamic world. Under Mansa Musa, the empire became urbanized, with schools and mosques in hundreds of densely populated towns. The king's rich legacy persisted for generations, and to this day, there are mausoleums, libraries, and mosques that stand as a testament to this golden age of Mali's history.
Okay, that was a video by Tech Talk about King Mansa Musa. Now, Matrix citizens, our Black history, number one, doesn't begin with slavery, and it doesn't end there as well. Okay, we still living in history right now as we speak. Don't ever forget Colin Kaepernick's situation as well. Okay, that's something that we are living in right now as I speak here in the in my show. But forget about borders, forget about walls. Black history is Black history throughout the whole world. It's not just in America. Okay, it's not just in Africa. It's not just in Europe. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We are one. Okay, Black people, we are one. Okay, now, the language does divide us sometimes, and the location that we are raised in. But at the end of the day, if we get past that, we are one race, which is the Black race. Okay. Now, King Mansa Musa did, like you heard on that audio, he did pass out. He gave out gold. He didn't even care about materialism like that. He even put down the economy because of that for a little bit. So they had to recover from it. But after Mansa Musa died, his family took over and so on. Okay, so for you young Matrix citizens that are listening to this podcast, just know if you wasn't aware that we do have a bloodline of kings and queens, okay? Black. Mansa Musa was Black. He was a Black man, okay? Now, shout outs to all the other kings from other races, from the Asian race, from the European race, but also shout out to all the Black kings in history, okay? Now, that was in the 1300s, okay? Now imagine, I always said this, our history, we still don't know much of it, okay? So imagine before that, who was ruling before King Mansa Musa, and before that, okay? So now, on the next topic, I will be speaking about the Black face with Gucci. It's been going viral in the last couple of days. Okay, Gucci put out a design with a Black face, basically, and they did apologize, but we're not taking that apology. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and play some video, some audios, just around that was, you know, that's just around the internet. See, so you guys could hear how some of my people feel about the situation. Okay, we have Soulja Boy.
Gucci's done, huh? Gucci's done. Come out of the Fendi store. Are you returning all your Gucci stuff?
Nah, we ain't gonna return it. I'm just gonna give it away to charity.
Oh, that's nice. You think people would want it, though, even though after, like, the whole blackface controversy?
No, they probably don't even want it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, people that's, you know, the less fortunate, they still gonna want the Gucci, but, you know, for my culture, you're right. They're probably not even gonna want it. It's so disrespectful, you know what I'm saying? It's not even about the money, you know what I'm saying? I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, over the last 10 years on the brand, so it's like, I just feel disrespected for them.
Betrayed?
To even portray my culture like that. I love Gucci, man. I got a Gucci tattoo in the middle of my forehead.
Are you gonna get that removed?
I've started the process. I gotta go back two more times.
Wow.
I went three times. I gotta go two more times.
Is there anything they can do to bring you back?
Cut that check, cousin, and give me a formal.
Okay, that was Soulja Boy. Some of his feelings about it. And okay. Give me a second, Matrix Citizens. Okay, now that situation, Matrix Citizens, is interesting. Okay, now I do have some feelings that I need to express myself about it. It's gonna be quick, short and simple. Okay, now I feel like this isn't regarding to Gucci and blackface. I feel like the mental attacks are in full effect towards our black people. It's like they throwing their allies, such as big fashion designers like Gucci and so on. This is my message to black individuals that don't know that there is a mental war against us, black men, women, and children. There's a war happening, and tactics such as blackface is clear evidence. Now, I feel we need to defend ourselves and really start supporting ourselves, and only ourselves. Gucci will not be the last soldier they use against our minds. Other companies that we make wealthy out of our black dollars will be used to try and attack our minds. But we need to be prepared as a collective and stop spending our black dollars with the enemy's soldiers. Okay, because the soldiers, by soldiers I mean, like I said, the enemy, okay, the oppressors. The oppressors use their soldiers, which in my, the way I see it, their soldiers is the big fashion design, the designer companies like Gucci and H&M and all these other companies that we make wealthy and powerful and rich by giving them our black dollar, okay? That's their soldiers, point blank, period. That's their soldiers for this mental war. It's a mental warfare going on against us, okay? Black fucking humans, black men, black women, black children. The oppressor wants to put us down every chance they get. They call the shots, probably. Gucci probably, you know, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing before they said they sent that shit out. And nobody's going to tell me they didn't, you know. That's just their, you know, they're basically under control by the oppressor. Okay, and it's going to keep happening, Matrix Citizens. It's going to keep happening throughout the years. Why? Because they don't want us, the black race, to rise again. They don't want that, okay? And it's going to happen. It's not like it's not going to happen. We are going to be on top again as a black race and a unit. We're going to unite, okay? And also, other races, that other minority races as well, will unite with us. Because I know not everybody is racist out there. And I know not everybody likes to be oppressed. That's not black. Okay. There's also his Latinos, Asians. There's also whites. Okay. Even whites are being oppressed by their own race. Okay. Because not every white person has a bad heart. And is delusional with, when it comes down to race and being racist, okay? So there's a lot of intelligent white people out there, and I respect as well. So that I know they're not racist. And in their world, they would not, in their reality, I'm sure they would not tolerate this level of oppression that's happening to us, okay? That's been happening to us throughout the years in history. Okay, now, Matrix Citizens, those were the two topics that I did wanted to touch on today. It's episode 10 of the Blue Pill Podcast. Okay, now I will see you guys next episode. Have a good day. Citizens, is your host once again, Tico from the Blue Pill Podcast, bringing you episode 10. Now, in today's episode, I just want to say happy Black History Month, and today's topics will be including exactly that, Black history, and also blackface, with the incident having to do with the incident with Gucci. Okay, now we're gonna go ahead and talk about those two topics. I'm gonna be speaking about the blackface issue with Gucci, and then I'm also going to be speaking to you guys about King Mansa Musa and a little bit of history about him. Okay, now sit back, relax, roll up a little spliff, a little blunt, and take a listen. Matrix citizens. Okay, Matrix citizens, welcome back. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play an audio to let you guys, inform you guys on a little bit of information about King Mansa Musa.
If someone asked you who the richest people in history were, who would you name? Perhaps a billionaire banker or corporate mogul like Bill Gates or John D. Rockefeller. How about African King Musa Keita I? Ruling the Mali Empire in the 14th century CE, Mansa Musa, or the King of Kings, amassed a fortune that possibly made him one of the wealthiest people who ever lived. But his vast wealth was only one piece of his rich legacy. When Mansa Musa came to power in 1312, much of Europe was racked by famine and civil wars. But many African kingdoms and the Islamic world were flourishing, and Mansa Musa played a great role in bringing the fruits of this flourishing to his own realm. By strategically annexing the city of Timbuktu and re-establishing power over the city of Gaul, he gained control over important trade routes between the Mediterranean and the West African coast, continuing a period of expansion which dramatically increased Mali's size. The territory of the Mali Empire was rich in natural resources, such as gold and salt. The world first witnessed the extent of Mansa Musa's wealth in 1324, when he took his pilgrimage to Mecca. Not one to travel on a budget, he brought a caravan stretching as far as the eye could see. Accounts of this journey are mostly based on an oral testimony and differing written records, so it's difficult to determine the exact details. But what most agree on is the extravagant scale of the excursion. Chroniclers describe an entourage of tens of thousands of soldiers, civilians, and slaves, 500 heralds, bearing gold staffs and dressed in fine silks, and many camels and horses bearing an abundance of gold bars. Stopping in cities such as Cairo, Mansa Musa is said to have spent massive quantities of gold, giving to the poor, buying souvenirs, and even having mosques built along the way. In fact, his spending may have destabilized the regional economy, causing mass inflation. This journey reportedly took over a year, and by the time Mansa Musa returned, tales of his amazing wealth had spread to the ports of the Mediterranean. Mali and its king were elevated to near legendary status, cemented by their inclusion on the 1375 Catalan Atlas. One of the most important world maps of medieval Europe, it depicted the king holding a scepter and a gleaming gold nugget. Mansa Musa had literally put his empire and himself on the map. But material riches weren't the king's only concern. As a devout Muslim, he took a particular interest in Timbuktu, already a center of religion and learning prior to its annexation. Upon returning from his pilgrimage, he had the great Djingarabeir Mosque built there with the help of an Andalusian architect. He also established a major university, further elevating the city's reputation and attracting scholars and students from all over the Islamic world. Under Mansa Musa, the empire became urbanized, with schools and mosques in hundreds of densely populated towns. The king's rich legacy persisted for generations, and to this day, there are mausoleums, libraries, and mosques that stand as a testament to this golden age of Mali's history.
Okay, that was a video by Tech Talk about King Mansa Musa. Now, Matrix citizens, our Black history, number one, doesn't begin with slavery, and it doesn't end there as well. Okay, we still living in history right now as we speak. Don't ever forget Colin Kaepernick's situation as well. Okay, that's something that we are living in right now as I speak here in the in my show. But forget about borders, forget about walls. Black history is Black history throughout the whole world. It's not just in America. Okay, it's not just in Africa. It's not just in Europe. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We are one. Okay, Black people, we are one. Okay. Now, the language does divide us sometimes, and the location that we are raised in. But at the end of the day, if we get past that, we are one race, which is the Black race. Okay. Now, King Mansa Musa did, like you heard on that audio, he did pass out. He gave out gold. He didn't even care about materialism like that. He even put down the economy because of that for a little bit. So they had to recover from it. But after Mansa Musa died, his family took over and so on. Okay, so for you young Matrix citizens that are listening to this podcast, just know, if you wasn't aware, that we do have a bloodline of kings and queens. Okay, Black Mansa Musa was Black. He was a Black man. Okay, now shout outs to all the other kings from other races, from the Asian race, from the European race, but also shout out to all the Black kings in history. Okay, now that was in the 1300s. Okay, now imagine, I always said this, our history, we still don't know much of it. Okay, so imagine before that, who was ruling before King Mansa Musa and before that. Okay, so now on the next topic, I will be speaking about the blackface with Gucci. It's been going viral in the last couple of days. Okay, Gucci put out a design with a black face basically, and they did apologize, but we're not taking that apology. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and play some video, some audios, just around that was, you know, that's just around the internet. See, so you guys could hear how some of my people feel about the situation. Okay. Okay, we have Soulja Boy.
Gucci's done, huh?
Gucci's done.
Come out of the Fendi store. Are you returning all your Gucci stuff?
Nah, we ain't gonna return it. I'm just gonna give it away to charity.
Oh, that's nice. You think people would want it, though, even though after, like, the whole blackface controversy?
Nah, they probably don't even want it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, people that's, you know, the less fortunate, they still gonna want the Gucci. But, you know, for my culture, you're right. They're probably not even gonna want it. It's so disrespectful, you know what I'm saying? It's not even about the money, you know what I'm saying? I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, over the last 10 years on the brand. So it's like, I just feel disrespected for them.
You feel betrayed?
to even portray my culture like that. I love Gucci, man. I got a Gucci tattoo in the middle of my forehead.
Are you gonna get that removed?
I've started the process. I gotta go back two more times.
Wow.
I went three times. I gotta go two more times.
Is there anything they can do to bring you back?
Cut that check, cousin, and give me a formal.
Okay, that was Soulja Boy. Some of his feelings about it, and. Second Matrix Citizens. Okay, now that situation, Matrix Citizens, is interesting. Okay, now I do have some feelings that I need to express myself about it. It's gonna be quick, short and simple, okay? Now, I feel like this isn't regarding to Gucci and blackface. I feel like the mental attacks are in full effect towards our black people. It's like they throwing their allies, such as big fashion designers like Gucci and so on. This is my message to black individuals that don't know that there is a mental war against us, black men, women, and children. There's a war happening, and tactics such as blackface is clear evidence. Now, I feel we need to defend ourselves and really start supporting ourselves, and only ourselves. Gucci will not be the last soldier they use against our minds. Other companies that we make wealthy out of our black dollars will be used to try and attack our minds. But we need to be prepared as a collective and stop spending our black dollars with the enemy's soldiers. Okay? Because the soldiers, by soldiers, I mean, like I said, the enemy, okay? The oppressors. The oppressors use their soldiers, which in my the way I see it, their soldiers is the big fashion design, the designer companies like Gucci and H&M and all these other companies that we make wealthy and powerful and rich by giving them our black dollar, okay? That's their soldiers, point blank, period. That's their soldiers for this mental war. It's a mental warfare going on against us, okay? The black fucking humans, black men, black women, black children. The oppressor wants to put us down every chance they get. They call the shots, probably. Gucci probably, you know, they know what the fuck they were doing before they said they sent that shit out. And nobody's gonna tell me they didn't, you know. That's just their, you know, they're basically under control by the oppressor. Okay, and it's going to keep happening, Matrix Citizens. It's going to keep happening throughout the years. Why? Because they don't want us, the black race, to rise again. They don't want that. Okay? And it's going to happen. It's not like it's not going to happen. We are going to be on top again as a black race. And a unit. We're going to unite. Okay? And also, other races, that other minority races as well, will unite with us. Because I know not everybody is racist out there. And I know not everybody likes to be oppressed. That's not black, okay? There's also his Latinos, Asians. There's also whites, okay? Even whites are being oppressed by their own race. Okay, because not every white person has a bad heart and is delusional with when it comes down to race and being racist. Okay, so there's a lot of intelligent white people out there, and I respect as well. So that I know they're not racist, and in their world, they would not, in their reality, I'm sure they would not tolerate this level of oppression that's happening to us, Okay? That's been happening to us throughout the years in history. Okay? Now, Matrix citizens, those was the two topics that I did wanted to touch on today. Episode 10 of the Blue Pill Podcast. Okay? Now, I'll see you guys next episode. Have a good day.